Peter marooned at Mugbite's headquarters. Day 227.
According to the chat, it's day 123. You're one, I'm two, and Johnny's three.
Yes, and the metadata hasn't updated either. No. It will, in time, and if I hear about it once more, there'll be trouble.
We didn't cut it fine, Johnny. We were just playing with your minds.
No.
Making sure we were number one and two.
Got to keep ourselves amused. I mean, come on, it's day 227 and the figures are horrific.
Kim, you're number five.
Oh,
Tracy's
no, this isn't
at number four.
Tracy's in at number four and Kim's in at number five. do you think I've turned Bertie now?
Were we planning it all day?
Yep.
Yep.
Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Tracy. Hello, Kim. Hello, Paul.
When I was on a school trip many years ago...
Hello, Simon.
When I was on a school trip many years ago, we had a register to make sure everyone was there. And the idea was you were assigned a number.
Well, that's beyond most of them.
So in the mornings, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Who's 7? Oh, 7 so and so. 7! and if anyone didn't answer to their number.
Sounds like a concentration camp. You wouldn't be allowed these days. Definitely not. Simon says he's only been here 2 minutes and he's imagining Magic Mike in short trousers. Ooh.
Really?
Mike had a pair of shorts. Not seen those in a while.
They're in the wardrobe.
Might have to dig them out.
What for? It's freezing.
That's true, actually. Weather's not good. The weather is absolutely
okay.
Hideous.
Okay. I'll put my mini skirt. I'll put my
mini skirt.
No,
what,
shorts.
Mini skirt?
I'll put my shorts on as long as you wear a mini skirt and Lola's Halloween gear.
I have not only have I never owned a pair of jeans or trousers, I have never owned a miniskirt. The nearest I ever got was my PE kit. So Mum comes home with my PE kit. OMG. It was purple. And I mean luminous purple. People eat a purple. And I took one look at this skirt and I said, I'm not wearing that. So she said, well, That was what you bought. There was no alternative. So I said, right, well, buy me a blue skirt, but I'm not wearing it that short. So I ended up with a blue PE skirt that was longer than my normal skirt. And they couldn't argue because it looked like a PE skirt. So I've never owned a mini skirt. For which the entire planet can thank me later. Just saying. So how is everybody anyway? Once you've thought of Mike in short trousers. CQ, Deb, CQ.
I used to wear short trousers when I was at junior school.
We can make anything into a miniskirt. No, Kim, this would not end well. No. Some people have the figure for a miniskirt and other people are normal. Victoria Beckham could carry a miniskirt. However, I nearly used a rude word there, Mike.
What did you nearly say?
I nearly said, but she's as thick as pig. Bleep! do you think I've had too much sugar today?
Probably.
Not enough. Anne, tell them what's just arrived and been secreted in the fridge for consumption later for you.
Toys.
Yes,
toys. Toys of an adult nature.
A Lindor chocolate's toys of an adult nature.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay then. Salted caramel Lindor. They were £5 a box, which is absolutely outrageous. However, I found them on offer at £3.50.
I could eat them during the match.
Was there a match on?
Yes.
Oh, there is, isn't there? Because they gave me a free programme. There you go.
I haven't read the programme.
Go and read it. Tell us if there's anything interesting in it. Oh, Simon's been to a Rocky Horror Party in a miniskirt. Funny you should mention that,
so
Simon.
Have I.
So has Mike. Wasn't that the one with the yellow pants on?
Yeah,
or was that when you dressed up as a nurse?
That was the nurse.
You're wondering now, aren't you?
No, I went when I was a student in Leeds. So we're going back to the
dark ages,
very late 80s, about 89. I went to a Rocky Horror show with a female accompanying me. And I was in a miniskirt and high heels. And we got the tram or the train from Leeds to Bradford. And then had to walk through Bradford.
And he still
Anthony will appreciate that.
And
is he
still came home as innocent as he went, didn't you, dear?
Oh, Tracy can't get salted caramel.
Oh, no. That's shocking. Why not? I know they're new, but I would have thought they were available all over. Mike yeah. enjoys them on a Saturday night, but it became a saga. It was John and Petrina who had them first, in by request. So they posted a picture and that was the end of that. Everybody else had to have some, just like the salted caramel ice cream. So we found them, but they were £5 a box. And I said, that's outrageous. But Mike said to me, we've got to have one to try. So he got one. Then they went on offer, but this is where it's weird, isn't it? Only to club card members?
Yeah.
So at that point, I had a look on Amazon and they've gone to £3.50 on there. You don't need a club card on there. And they'll deliver next day. You can't expect Mike to wait until Saturday for the next lot, whether Wendy brings them or not. So they've arrived. I suggest you have a box in each hand ready for the match, just in case it doesn't go well.
Right. And all the rest of the chocolate and a bottle of wine.
I think we do need pictures of Simon. Do we have pictures of you?
Me?
In your nurse's outfit with the yellow pants?
No, that was, that was...
I've seen them.
That was the mid-80s. That was.
Yes, but you must have had pictures at some point.
That was pre-digital.
They could be
camera.
Melting in your freezer. Oh, Kim, no. No, no, no. How's the fridge? Is it still? British taste. Well, it does seem to be a popular flavour right now. That's for sure. Hello, Anthony. Did Anthony hear the bit about Mike?
No, he didn't. What I said was
sit
Anthony
down, here. Anthony. You'll need to.
Anthony, we were talking about miniskirts. We started with talking about shorts and then we got on to miniskirts. Simon said that he went to a Rocky Horror show in a miniskirt and I said I did the same thing in the late 80s. I was at uni in Leeds and I went to a Rocky Horror show in Bradford with a female friend and I dressed up in full miniskirt, high heels, etc., etc. And we got the train from Leeds to Bradford and then walked through the Bradford Town Centre to get to the theatre.
So if you remember for anything from the late 80s about somebody being arrested, looking like a transvestite, it was Mike. Oh, that's fantastic. I'll share a funny story with them. You know, I mentioned a programme that I actually thought was fairly decent because I've still not recovered from that pandemic film yet. I watched a couple of episodes of NCIS like that. And then there was a new episode of 911 something with
Beverly
Rob
Hills
Lowe.
90210.
No. It's 911. I think it's Lone Star. Is that Texas, the Lone Star? Them, anyway. And there's... It's like he's pulled together a firefighting team of all like mavericks. It's like literally this would never happen in real life. You've got a firefighter who is an unmarried Muslim lady with full regalia on. I mean, surely that's a fire hazard by itself. Anyway. And there was the chief...
Oh, now we've got a picture of the sprog.
Oh, for God's sake. Not necessary. Do you know, if I sent pictures of puppets, don't get me going. Not in the mood. Don't get me going. Anyway, let me explain. So, the captain's son is gay. And there's another guy there who looks totally like a guy. And they went out to this case where a woman kept reporting her neighbours. And she's clearly racist, homophobic, you name it. And she falls over and she says she's had a heart attack. So they all line up. Basically, first off, the woman goes over, the Muslim woman. And she takes one look and says, I don't want her near me. So the next one that popped up was this black guy, I think. And she said, I don't want him either. Then another one comes up and he says, I'm gay. And she said, I don't want him. So by the time they'd finished, this guy goes up and he's black. And she looks at him and she says, you're not gay, are you? He said, no. So she said, "You're not Muslim?" He says, "No." She said, "I'll have him." He said, "I'm trans." But I thought he was joking, but apparently he is. I'm too old for this world. And then he gets a girlfriend. He tells the girlfriend he's trans. And she runs screaming to the hills. And I'm thinking, why? A person's a person. I think I've come in at the wrong reel. So this is what we're talking about with this baby, isn't it?
Yeah.
Somebody has become grandparents and they're now that busy patting themselves on the back, being welcomed to a very special club.
They didn't do any work.
Well, I know that, and you know that. But why exclude people by saying that being a grandparent's a very special club? Mike and I do not have skin kids. Ergo, we are not part of
their very special club. Can we claim Lola's puppies as our grandchildren?
Oh, don't get me going. Do not get me going. It's so... We spent our entire year making sure that no one was excluded for any reason. And they've just spent the last year excluding whoever for any reason whatsoever. Don't get me going. Oh, let's carry on. Let's go back to Simon and the photos, because we've seen you in your gym jams. A miniskirt couldn't possibly be any worse. Get Mrs. Simon to dig them out. There you go. You're monitoring the fridge with thermometers. See if it's better and hard reboot. Oh, I hope it is. Because they're like little villages, your fridges. They should last more than 15 months. It's quite dangerous, that, though, isn't it? Because if you don't notice the food, like Mike's cheese. Shall we explain about Mike's cheese?
Yeah, you explain.
He was going to bed. Obviously, I was staying up lots, lots longer. So just in case I got peckish later, I said, well, I'll just have some cheese and biscuits. I said, if you bring the cheese and biscuits up, I will put the cheese in the freezer bag that's next to me. So he brings up the cheese. He brings up the gluten-free biscuits. He puts them all down and he disappears off to bed. About 2 minutes later, I take a look at this cheese and I shout, Mike. He comes back in. He said, what? I said, the cheese. It was growing penicillin, wasn't it?
Yes.
At which point he uttered a very rude word and said it had only been there, was it 4 days?
It had been there less than 4 days.
And it was green, mouldy. See, now you see, you like green mould cheese. What do we call that?
I don't know.
The cheese Mum used to like.
I don't know.
Blue Stilton.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think this one. I think this was like Cheshire. It wasn't supposed to be mouldy.
Have you seen what Carolyn sent you?
No.
There you go.
What's Carolyn sent me? Oh, it's pandas.
Pandas on slide.
Pandas on a slide. Oh, my word. I definitely need to go there. Can I just live with pandas instead of people? Not biters are fine, but, you know, other people. Oh, look at their little faces climbing up the slide and then sliding down the wrong way. That's fabulous. Can you get a link out and send it to the chat?
Yeah. If I can find it. There it is.
Oh, Paul's moving today. He may be gone for a few days. Oh, no. Yeah, that's exciting, though, isn't it? That's exciting. It's all a step nearer to his new den, his new tech den. Deb wore a miniskirt. My legs went on forever. Great effect when I had heels on. Itty bitty and go-go boots. Well, I don't think I've ever had go-go boots. You would cut the mould off and eat the cheese. No, I didn't. I didn't, I'm afraid. I just thought it was comical. Nearly as comical as the toothpaste, wasn't it? Not a word from him. He's grinning, though.
Saying out.
We have this thing. Why do we have two separate toothpastes when they're the same toothpaste?
I don't know.
Just historic, probably.
His and hers.
His and hers toothpaste.
Well, you've got to go back about 20 years for this to make any sense.
Do you?
Yeah.
When we had different toothpastes?
No.
As
to what Karen said.
Oh, you've lost me now. You'll have to explain that. Explain it to them and me at the same time and then I'll carry on.
Well, was the story the fact I left it out?
Why? What did she say?
Karen from the chippy.
Yeah. That's going to set Johnny off because he's apparently a Karen is a thing. I did not know this, but a Karen is
what
a thing.
What sort of thing?
Steady on. My middle name's Karen. A stupid woman on Facebook.
Right.
So go on. Karen said...
Karen from the Chippy, when we'd not been going out long, said something about, just, you know, will you be lovey-dovey when he's left the lid off the toothpaste?
Ergo, the other night, goes into the bathroom, gets my toothpaste and my toothbrush, puts the toothpaste on the toothbrush, puts the toothpaste away to stare in front of me on the window ledge at Mike's toothpaste with the lid off. And I looked and I thought, yeah, whatever. You see, now my mum was as bad. She would have hun, drawn and quartered my father for that. But I just shrugged and carried on. Didn't mention it to him until today, which is 2 days later. And said...
Yes, she saved it up.
I said, I didn't go mad, did I? And he went, no, you just put it in your craw and used it 2 days later. I don't care where the toothpaste is.
Well, it's back in its home now. Right, there we go.
Karens are a thing of 2020 and a Karen is a slur. No, Karen is my middle name. I am reclaiming it. Do you know, this friend that he was talking about in the Chippy called Karen, her name was Karen Elaine. And I think she was a little bit younger than me, so I don't know whether to just take my name and flipped it round. But Mum was in two minds as to whether Karen or Elaine. And the only reason she went for Elaine in the end was she wanted a name that couldn't be shortened. And Karen would become Kaz. So she put Karen as the middle name. But honestly, why have a name that is like a name that then takes on another meaning? Because... I actually read that in, I think it was a post on Facebook that was referring to a post from a newspaper. And it was one of these baby name things. Do you remember when they wanted to call the child Gaylord? Well, this one was a girl. And the lady in question wanted to call it after her mother. And the husband said he'd divorce her if she did. And I'm thinking, God, how bad's the name? And it turned out the name was Karen. And then it said, like, the child will be subjected to years of abuse and misery and teasing. And I'm like, well, the child didn't choose its own name. Why would you criticise the child? Why would you bully the child? Is there something wrong with people? If a name has a really, really, really bad connotation, I'm sure there aren't many called Donald this year, but something like Adolf or Myra, then I could understand it more. But names are names. Whatever. Oh, people are so small-minded. There you go. Panda. Panda.
Yes, panda.
It's largely about entitlement. Is it? Simon, you knew far more about this than I do. I had no idea. I didn't even know it was a thing. So a restaurant's giving away free meals to all women named Karen. I mean, that could be any name. It could be Sharon. What's the problem? I'm going to put the panda video on. I'm watching it. Panda video.
Panda.
We have a few cameras. Where do you mean, Paul? Do you mean Australia? There aren't actually, when you think about it, when you think about actresses or newsreaders, there aren't many called Karen these days. They must all be on Facebook, being objectionable. There you go. I didn't know it was a thing until Jonathan told me.
Karen Carpenter.
She's dead.
No.
That was a long time ago, Mike.
I've just Googled Karen and it auto-completes. Karen Carpenter, Karen Brady, Karen Millen.
Oh, I've forgotten Karen Brady. Good point. Just watch a few Karen videos.
Karen is a pejorative term for someone perceived as entitled or demanding beyond the scope of what is appropriate or necessary. Yeah, I think Kim's just copied that from Wikipedia because that's exactly what I'm reading.
Kim can do exactly what she likes. How ludicrous, though. I mean, call them what they are. Oh, and it's white women as well, is it? Ah, right, OK. We're narrowing it down a bit more now. Why don't we just call them what they are? Morons, and be done with it. The lady who did the Denver video was missing some facts. Oh, you need to put a comment because she loves comments. Stapleton Airport was in the middle of a low-income neighbourhood that was dangerous. Would you like planes flying overhead at all hours? No. And now you come to mention it, we are actually on the flight path for Manchester Airport, aren't we?
Mm.
So we just hope that there's never a mid-air collision. were probably, as the crow flies, what, about 5 miles away?
Yeah.
But obviously, the flights are all over the place because Manchester's a huge airport. Let her know. Let her know. I wondered why they'd built it so far away. I also thought, if there was already an airport there, did they need one? Did they shut down Stapleton after that, or is it still there? Did it... I mean, surely a town can't have two airports like that. Did it change to be like a smaller airport? We had one in about 50 miles away. And we've also got Barton Aerodrome, haven't we? Which is about 2 miles away. Yeah. But it does really tiny flights, you know, like the two-seater things, and that's it. So did it change? That panda video is going to take some watching today, Kim. I'll just put it on repeat. I'll put it on repeat while I'm dealing with people who are trying to annoy me on YouTube. There you go. That's what I'll do with it. Stapleton's now gone. Nice new apartments and housing. Well, it's an improvement then, isn't it? It is quite away from town, though. I wondered if people would want to go that far. Good night, Jonathan. Say hello to Mummy Isaacs and Daddy Isaacs and all the little Isaacs. Manchester Airport's to the south of Manchester, but the transport routes are very well established. In fact, when did the trams open in Manchester again? Was it the early 90s? Late 80s, early 90s? We used to have trams in the year dot.
The 1800s.
Yeah, and they all got ripped up and it was like buses are the way forward. Buses are not the way forward. So they then
1992. 6th of April.
Oh, a week before us.
Yeah.
We must have been inspired. So they rebuilt the tram system, but it went from Altrincham to Bury, didn't it, on one line. So straight through Manchester. What they've done with it since, it's basically like the London Underground, only it's overground and it's trams. And they now have multiple routes that go out to the airport. So the airport is kind of hooked up to the city centre. But from the city centre to the airport is probably about 10 miles. And that one just seemed to be a long way. I also thought the roof was fascinating. When I first saw it, I thought, what on earth? And then they explained it was to do with like aping the mountains around it. But it still looked rather strange. But I found that whole thing fascinating. Loved it. They had rapid growth and expansion in the last 26 years. The suburbs are almost doubling to tripling. In which case, that would kind of move it nearer to the airport, wouldn't it? Then it would make more sense. What an amazing airport, though. When they said it was bigger than... Was it bigger than two cities? And the baggage thing underneath, I would love to see that. I mean, why did they leave it? Why could they not have that working? That would have been amazing. Because it reminded me of a system I saw put in place in the British Museum in the late 80s. The British Library, rather. The British Library, there's a huge one in London and it looks like a library. But there's also like the Document Repository Service in, I think it's called Boston, isn't it? Boston Spa, which is bang in the middle of the country. So they put it there so it was equal access from the north and the south, etc. And they had this document request went in and they then had to be routed to the right department. And we went on this tour and I'm watching these things and they weren't like those things you see now, like the delivery pods on wheels. This thing was like suspended off the ceiling. A bit like a monorail. And there were buckets in it. And you pop documents in it. You know, one went past like a red one's going to such and such a place. So you pop the documents in it. And they just haired off. And this was years and years ago. And it totally worked. It was, the whole building was wired up with it. And we were saying like, what does that do? And where does it go? And what happens? It was amazing. And when I saw that underneath and the suitcases in it, I thought that's exactly the same principle. Exactly the same principle. But it didn't work in the bin did it. How could it not work? Although, I guess the thing with the documents is, the documents are virtually a given size. And if you think about suitcases, they're not necessarily. And the one thing I did notice in that video was one of the suitcases falling off. And I thought that could cause a complete log jam if it fell off. Mind you, we've got a friend, haven't we? Who every time he goes away, it doesn't matter where he's going, he gets there about 6 days before the luggage. And the same on the trip home as well. Do you remember the year the luggage went somewhere like Turkey and they kept it for 3 weeks? I mean, apart from used socks, I don't know what was in it. I don't know if it had to put some tech in it or not. That would worry me. Just stay in the same country. I'll stay with my luggage. We'll keep it safe like that. Oh, loads of places have two airports. No, we don't. We're not big enough. I guess London does. London probably has four. You've got Heathrow, which is the biggest, and then Gatwick further south. Fractionally to the north, you've got Luton. And there's also City Airport actually in the City of London. Now, obviously, you're not going to get a 747 in there, but it's a fairly busy airport. But we only have the one. You've flown into Stapleton. Not a fun place. They had some of the worst art in place, the design of the airport, with the TP tops. That's what I said about the artwork. The artwork was amazing. Just the sheer cost of that, and that it was to be a permanent display. That I found the whole thing fascinating. I love things like that. That's why I think I would have loved history, but more modern history than the garbage we did. It was hideous. But the modern history of how buildings got put up or fell down, I do find fascinating. There was one that I watched about the construction of the Victoria Line in London in the 60s that was just beyond fascinating. This video was as old as the hills. It was the kind of video that the UK would make as like, I guess it was more of a record than to be entertainment. And what they'd done with this Victoria Line extension, it was going to be a huge job because the Victoria, not the Victoria Line, but the other lines that were already there in the underground were already there. And this junction, this major junction, was Oxford Circus. And again, that already existed. And I must admit, I had always wondered as I go around the underground, and people don't appreciate it, how amazing is that construction given it was in the 1800s? And this was, I thought it was one video, but it turned out to be four programmes that they'd put up on YouTube as one video. And it had been filmed by a production company run by, I think it was two actors that were married. He did the voiceover and I think she did acting in things. But they put this production company together and they were responsible for creating these videos. Each one was about 25 minutes-ish. And it started off with how on earth the construction was even going to start. And the programmes happened over a course of 7 years. And it took you up to when the Queen opened the thing. And the Queen actually drove the train, which I thought was pretty amazing. But the construction of it was just amazing to watch. I love stuff like that. Another one was, I mentioned it to you the other day, didn't I, about Woolwich?
Yeah.
There's a place in London called Woolwich, and it's the only place that's on both sides of the Thames. So the Thames splits it in two, but both sides of it is Woolwich. And they have the Woolwich Ferry, which ships people from one side of the Thames to the other. But they wanted something else. So Mike said, why didn't they build a bridge? And I said, because it's the wrong end of the Thames. It was the intake end of the Thames. I said, if they built a bridge, it would need to go up and down to let the shipping in. So I said, so that they couldn't do that. And they tunnelled underneath it. So they tunnelled under the Thames with the walkway. And you can literally just walk under the Thames on this thing, which, again, fascinating. Love that kind of stuff. Right. Tracy says she remembers a department store that had money rooted in vacuum operated pods. Oh, yeah. Didn't you? They used to put it in like it looked like a flask and you screwed the lid on. That was in a TV programme, but I can't remember which one. I've never seen it for real. But that is genius. It's so ugly. One or two of them are always needing repair. What are they actually made of? Because they look like tents. Are they actually a solid roof that just happens to be that shape? Because they do look like tents. I mean, they never actually said what they were made of. If you mix the exit, it takes you 30 minutes to go round. That sounds like Manchester. Mike and I ended up... Do you remember that time we were going up to... Was it Wilmslow?
Yeah.
and we got stuck at these lights. Didn't I have to get out for some reason?
Can't remember.
Well, you had to get out. We were sat at the airport at these lights and they didn't change. And we must have been there 20 minutes. And in the end, I said, oh, just go. Because the lights have got to be broken. It was that bad. Oh, dear. A hospital has a system. When you have a blood test, they put the sample into a pod and it shoots off to pathology. I'm missing all of this because I don't go to hospitals. But that is a good idea, isn't it? Because the alternative would be the old trolley being pushed around by a porter. The thing with the Freemason was funny. There's a lot of Masonic lodges in Denver. Nothing scary, and they have some unusual rituals. You've been inside one of the lodges. Wow. Oh, actually, I have. I've been inside one. That's Macclesfield, isn't it?
Yeah.
They meet at the Masonic Lodge. And yes, there's kind of symbolism there.
Johnny's a Freemason, isn't he?
And Johnny's a Freemason, and he's quite normal. Well, as normal as Matt Bice's go. There you go. No, Jonathan recommended a programme, didn't he, on Now TV?
Yeah.
Which I've got keyed up in my list. But yeah, you go into it and there's a lot, with it being the Masonic Lodge, there's a lot of symbolism, but they haven't got three heads or anything. There's a bar inside and everything. And we went to a ladies' night, didn't we? Mm. Last year.
Yeah.
Solid sheet metal. Doesn't look it. It does look like a tent, like a teepee. But clearly, it's taking a bit of a battering. The banks had money pods. Use them all the time when making a deposit. No, I never used anything like that. So Simon liked Lodge 49 on Amazon. If they were all like that, I'd join. And Kim's dad, grandfather and uncle were Freemasons. Yeah, we got friends who are Freemasons. Nothing wrong with that. But they do get a bad rap, don't they? But there again, so do the Catoonians.
Yeah.
With that story. Find that story. It's a scream. Obviously, when you think, oh, Catoonians, what are they? You type Catoonians into Google. Don't do that. This article comes up.
Type Catoonians Independent.
There you go. It was an article in The Independent. But when you read it, you know,
I can't read it because I've got an ad blocker.
Well, if there was no ad blocker, no, put the link in anyway. It's so funny. Because what we did when I found this link and I said to Mike, have you read this? And it was nothing like it really is. Well, we just assumed other people had seen it. So we were at Nina and Chidge for Christmas. And I just said, oh, it's like the Independent article. And Chidge said, what Independent article? So I said, oh, Chidge, iPad. So he picks up his iPad mini, Independent, you know, Catoonians. What was his face like? He was just like, what? What? Then Nina got her hands on it. She said, it's nothing like that. And it was on about the security services vetting people and all sorts. I mean, it's complete tosh. And that's the Independent. It's not like that at all. You had to be nominated by a secret member. It's complete and utter garbage. And yet that's been there 20 years. Somebody said, we mentioned it to them, that somebody should write to them and tell them to take it down because it's completely inaccurate. And I guess it's the number of Catoonians that are reading it for a laugh that means it returns as the number one article. It's a scream. Oh, Anthony's been to the one in Keithley. A normal meeting room. They have an area for ceremonies. They probably do, but I mean, Catoonians like put a table up and stick a cloth on it and then put like regalia around, don't they? But I mean, it's not like ram's heads that have been boiled. It's just a book. Oh, crying out loud. What's underneath the airport? All the stuff that makes the trams, the electrical heating works and offices. And they get tornadoes out there. Oh, that guess that makes sense, burrowing it underneath then. I just thought it was a fascinating structure. And I mean, the stories were a little bit way out, but also fascinating. If you have no idea, which I didn't. Now, that's not the normal stuff she does. She normally does true crime. What sets her apart from everybody else who does true crime? And there's a real weird thing on YouTube that ladies start out and they're doing makeup tutorials And then within a couple of months, they're doing true crime. Because nobody wants to watch makeup tutorials, but they all want to watch the true crime. So literally, there's Stephanie Harlow, Eleanor Neal, Molly Westbrook, all girls, absolutely gorgeous. All have done video tutorials with makeup and all are now doing true crime. But Stephanie sets herself apart because her videos are so long. She goes into them to the nth degree. And I don't know how true this is, but she moved house about 2 months ago. And mention was made on one of these videos, because she also does like live just chit-chat things, that she'd had to move house because someone was stalking her from YouTube, putting like dislikes on all her video and putting nasty comments and stuff. Which about sums my week up, doesn't it?
Mm.
Just saying. But she had to move because of it. Which is shocking because she's got three kids and a husband. And obviously they had to move with her. But yeah, she moved. I don't know how far. And I don't know how you would manage to fully keep your address private anyway, because anyone can find anything online these days. But it's quite scary, isn't it? That happens on YouTube just because you're putting some videos out. Oh, what a story that was. Yeah, best keep that link, you know. Maybe it used to be like that 20 years ago. I doubt it, only because in the music shows that we were doing, we had a couple there, Peter and Andrea. And Peter's been in the Cotinian since forever, hasn't he?
He has.
And when you look, he was the one who died a couple of weeks back. When you looked at the photos that were in his brochure from, what do you call it? The thing he had for his funeral.
His funeral. Order of service.
Order of service. There was all these photographs from his years in the Cotinians. And they were all just party photos of him having a really, really good time. So I don't think it was ever like that. I think they're basically making it up because they've got no facts. But you talk to any Cotinian, it's nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. Journalism has gone down the drain. There really isn't much in terms of journalism anymore, is there? I said that to Mike. Journalism's just dead. They take the press release and they don't even change the word. They don't even run it through the spell checker anymore. I despair of journalism, so I don't bother looking. I just said to Mike, are the death stats out for the day? Are they good or bad? That's all I need to know. Forget the rest. I don't want them arguing the toss and saying this, that and the other. United are assuring us today that they can make 23,500 seats COVID safe at Old Trafford. Can you imagine my response? They are completely missing the point.
Well,
do they have 23,500 toilets, or are you supposed to clean your own when you've finished?
Probably. Or hold it in. Get a lady pipe.
That wouldn't even surprise me. And then you've got the car parking and you've got the turnstiles to get in and out. I mean, Posh Spice would struggle to get through those turnstiles. Be honest. You have to turn sideways and wiggle.
True.
How can that be safe?
Mm.
Then, like I've said, parking. Where are you parking? If 23,500 people are going, you are looking at least 15,000 cars. Where are they putting them? Because they've got them packed that tight normally.
Mm.
I don't believe it can be made COVID safe. Do you think it can? He's pondering.
Not if you include all the other stuff, the toilets, the car parking, the food, etc. You know, there's 75,000 seats, so you could have somebody empty seat, empty seat, somebody empty seat, empty
seat. Yes, but that's ignoring them getting there. Yeah. You're exposing people.
Actually, you couldn't have empty seat because you'd want the seats in front
empty as well. Yeah.
No, it couldn't be done.
Well, they think it can, but I think they're working with like dummies rather than people. I mean, you and I, if we decided to go, we wouldn't need to be separated.
True.
So how do they accommodate that?
Yeah.
And they must have totally missed the point. If 23,500 people are not travelling to Old Trafford, then they're not exposing themselves outside of the match. So don't be selfish. Put the games on at £4.99, you make a profit. But they don't want to do that either. That's another long story, isn't it, Mike?
Mm.
Look at the Conservative Party 20 years ago. Do I have to, Simon? Go on. Now they're being run by the Eton equivalent of Charlie Carole.
I remember Charlie Cannoli.
They are all as bad as one another,
Simon.
I bet
you don't. You're reading a book.
Yeah, he was a clown.
Oh, you do remember.
There you go. See? Lady Pipes will soon be all the rage. Kim, I've got a sneaking suspicion they might. Seriously, because ladies aren't going to want to sit on a seat that anybody else has ever been anywhere near. So I can see it. I can see it coming.
Manchester Opera House to reopen for a socially distanced pantomime.
He's behind you!
How's that going to work?
Again, it's ludicrous. It's totally ludicrous. Do you know, if we'd just done the right thing back in March and shut down for 4 months, we would not be in this mess now. And yet here we are. Oh, and Germany's shutting down next week, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm glad they've given us a week's notice. Is that a total shutdown or are they just closing the pubs?
Don't know. I think it might be a total shutdown.
Wales are now talking about coming out of a total shutdown. That was after it nearly came to blows over a packet of Tampax, apparently. And you think I'm joking? No, I'm not joking. You know, we told you about... It was a pair of furry gym jams, wasn't it, at the time? Mm. A mum went in and she only had money that week, so she couldn't have pre-bought them because she didn't have any money. And she wanted to buy a pair of warm winter pyjamas for her kid. And you can't buy clothes. Not essential. Well, a lady went into Tesco's and she headed over to the lady aisle and she wanted to buy some sanitary products. Not essential. She ended up crying on the floor. To a lady, trust me, that's essential. Just saying. And Tesco's told her twice it wasn't and threw her out. Another lady went in, I don't know if it was the same store or another Tesco's, and got told the same thing. So the second lady and the first lady are then on Twitter, you know, doing a Karen. There you go. Although I do feel they are entitled, because I do think that is essential. Putting Tesco to right, saying, how on earth can you say this is not an essential item? The government of Wales have to get involved to come back to tell Tesco. Tesco tell the ladies they're right and it's not an essential item, which, I mean, I could get lurid with what I say next, but I won't. What do you expect them to do? Just a thought. So Tesco come back and say, no, that's what the government told us, blah, blah, blah. The government have to get involved, the Welsh government, to say that's not what we said. And they are an essential item. So can you just sort the ladies out? Thank you. It should not come to the government of a country to have to be tweeting to a supermarket to let a lady buy some sanitary products. Honest to God, it's like we've moved back to the 1500s, isn't it? There are really just no words. Is Paul still here? Haven't Sydney just reopened after 4 months? Ooh, there was one place in Australia that the figures were really, really low and they were doing really well. The most ignorant and obtuse thing I've ever heard. It struck me, Simon, it had to be a bloke that said no, because I think a lady would have just said, well, whether they're essential or not, here you go. That's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. Only thank God it was a fully grown woman and not a young child trying, you know, a girl of, say, 13 or 14. You would never get over it. Mind you, she did end up in a heap on the floor crying, so it didn't end well anyway. Masks are our way out of this pandemic for Kim. And you've thought so for about 5 months. Wearing them won't eliminate the virus, but it will make the cases less severe for most part. I look back now and I think, why didn't we have masks from the very beginning? Just fabric masks, not the N95s, the PPE that were needed by the frontline workers. But why were we not just told a scarf will do? We weren't actually told that till like July. In fact, in Britain, they were actively saying, don't bother. It won't make a difference. I mean, it doesn't make sense that it wouldn't make a difference, but that's what they said. This is why they can't be trusted. I love that, Simon. Makes Wales sound like a third world country. Yes, I'm glad both of them. I mean, if there were two anyway, how many have been turned away from other stores? And then you get into a situation, I mean, I can understand particularly a guy might think, well, can't you wait? You know, or, well, you should have bought extra. But if you say that to somebody, the next thing is there'll be a run on sanitary products and no one will be able to buy them. It'll be like toilet rolls all over again. And an average house, you know, we're getting to the point where you're already keeping in some toilet rolls and you're keeping in some food and you're keeping in some blankets. You're not going to have the room. We're not all an offshoot of Tesco. We just want to be able to go and buy products when we need them. And that is not helping that at all. That's doing more damage to people's psyche in terms of, when I get in, I'm going to buy 1,500 packets than anything else. It is utterly ridiculous. I can't understand why there isn't a list. And I don't know whether it will be easier to say these are the products you can buy or these are non-essential products. But I guarantee if you put a list out of these are non-essential products, somebody will come along and say, they'll have a scenario where that is an essential product. I'd love to see what they think is not essential. I mean, obviously things like, although having said that, I mean, here's a ridiculous one. Games and magazines, essential, you can buy those. But other things, you can't. I don't know why either. Sydney's been good, never closed fully. I would say there's time yet, but you seem to have sorted yourself out better than we have. Ooh. I see a link. I'm about to follow that link. The state premier refuses to mandate mask wearing. Oh, we've got that as a rule, but it doesn't apply to the Prime Minister's father, allegedly. Or Gary Lineker, who actually said, didn't he, you're an idiot if you don't wear a mask, and then went out shopping and didn't have a mask on.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. Did you not see that?
Didn't see that bit.
That was, I think it was on the front of one of the papers. Probably about 2 weeks ago.
You don't like Gary Lineker anymore.
Gary Lineker is a complete idiot, allegedly. Lineker. Hang on, I've got the E in the wrong place there. There he is. Nobody in their right minds should say you shouldn't be out without a mask and then go out without a mask. Can you believe he's only 59?
Gary Lineker.
All right, let's have a look. There you go. Oh, it's the Independent. Gary Lineker apologises after being caught shopping without a face mask. Which I can't tell you much else about the story on account of the fact it's in The Independent and I've got an ad blocker.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Oh, for crying out loud. News should be free. Don't put it behind a paywall. I'll put the link in anyway. Gary Lineker was a British footballer and he is now the anchor on Match of the Day, which is our football programme on the BBC. So, yes, got caught. Not caught with his pants down these days, is it? It's caught without your mask on. Kim says, I remember them telling us the virus was so small, a mask wouldn't matter. I thought you can't tell a dentist that hogwash. I figured it couldn't hurt. I mean, you could, which I think I would do. I would probably wear one of the blue medical masks underneath a fabric mask, just in case. You could stick a plastic bag in there as well, and that way you're not breathing anything anybody else is breathing. Or you could take the approach Mike and I are taking and not leave the house. Problem solved. I'm just glad I'm not adding to the misery for anybody because I feel the need to go to wherever. And it's half term this week, isn't it?
It is.
So there's a lot of people out there. A lot of them. So Tracy said they've gone back to a state of emergency and are requested not to go out unnecessarily. I saw that on the TV. I think it was about either yesterday or the day before. And I thought of you and I thought you said that would happen. And it wasn't it something to do with people going crazy, bar hopping in the big cities? I said to Mike, if you want a drink, seriously, get Tesco to deliver one, Amazon to deliver one. You don't need to go out. But people, are feeling the need to party, which I must admit, don't understand. He might not have been able to afford one. No, you're quite right, Anthony. Maybe he could sew together his £20 notes and make one from that. How you can go out and forget, though. I mean, if you're an average person and you're flustered with the kids and stuff, fair enough. But his kids are grown. And he had actually said, don't go out without a mask. And then he's out without a mask. And I think it was the day after, one of the papers had got a picture of Boris's father out shopping in newsagents, and he had no mask on at all. I mean, do these people think they've got some God-given immunity? Because I would have thought the Prime Minister's father, you know, with the Prime Minister having had it, just saying, I don't get it. I really don't get it. And last night, over 100 people attended a dinner, including many right-wing and far-right politicians and the Spanish health minister. There needs to be some kind of sound effect after this, like wah wah wah. Again, do they have some kind of immunity of which we are unaware? Just saying. Kim was saying, please, I've already lived through AIDS and we're wearing a mask so as not to contact the aerosols from the AIDS virus. This feels worse than that, doesn't it? Because you actually, well, unless you're a dentist or a medic and you have to be careful of the blood transfer, an average person, it doesn't impact unless you are doing other things that you wouldn't be doing without knowing you were doing it, if you know what I mean. And they're telling us all kinds of garbage. And that's why I'm ignoring it. At the moment, it's give me the death figures and then show me the panda video and I'll be fine. That's the approach I'm taking this week. So from Tuesday night onwards, that was my approach. And I watched 911 Lone What's It last night, one episode of that. And I've got another episode of NCIS keyed up. So I'm working on the principle. In NCIS, it's 2003. The world was a much more innocent place in 2003. Certainly more innocent than it is now. Not good. So Simon's concerned it'll take another emergency services breakdown on the scale of New York before it's taken very seriously again in some places. I totally agree. I mean, at the moment, it's like the NHS now would not be coping but for the fact that other people have decided it's not wise to go to A&E. Now, my take on that would be, if you needed A&E, you know, back in whenever, months ago, years ago, then go to A&E. If you didn't need A&E, please don't go. And that's just proved now that clearly people were going and they're evaluating it now and thinking, oh, you know, that ingrowing toenail, no, it's not actually an emergency, is it? And they're going somewhere else with it. So that's changed. Without that change, they wouldn't be coping. I'm wondering when they're going to take the nightingales out of mothballs. There was Harrogate, Manchester, Birmingham and London. And then there was the Scottish ones. I think one was Glasgow. I'm presuming Edinburgh's got one. Mind you, it's only 80 miles away, so maybe not. Mind you, they're like United City, so maybe. Mind you, Liverpool haven't got one, have they?
Don't think so.
They'd have to come over this way. We'd be importing it next, telling you. That's what'll happen. But I think the NHS would already have gone. The government mandated limit for social gatherings is 6 people. Maybe they're all in a bubble together, Tracy. Do they all live together? They're not setting the best example. I mean, honestly. Oh, Kim, even if I hadn't done anything that meant an AIDS test, that's scary. I've actually got a story about that. This actually happened to me. Way before we met, wasn't it? And I'd had to go into hospital and have an emergency operation. It was complete carve-up from day one. If it could go wrong, it did go wrong with knobs on. So I, first of all, had to wait to be told if I had cancer. 6 days later, they still hadn't bothered to tell me, although they'd actually done the test. So I was getting itchy feet at this stage, wanting to go home. Then it was you can't go home. This was the bed 13 fiasco, if you remember. When you're in bed 13, you don't get out. It's like the X-Files. I finally escape. My mother sorts me out. And everything was fine. So about a year, 18 months later, I come home from university and mum is as white as a sheet. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, you're going to have to sit down. I thought, what the hell's gone on here? And because I'd been away, I hadn't seen the local paper. So she's looked at the local paper and she said, there's this story in it. So I said, go on. You know, I hadn't even been here. So how could this local story impact me? Turns out one of the surgeons at the hospital where I'd had the operation had been diagnosed with AIDS and he'd operated on 6,000 people. And she said, there's a number that you need to ring. And how they decided who needed to ring was the date of your treatment, and it covered when I'd been in hospital. Then I was as white as a sheet. And you know me with medical stuff, because you rang the dentist for me, didn't you, Mike? Mm. I said, I can't speak to them. I can't ring. She said, I'll ring and I'll say that I'm you. So we had to wait until the next morning until she could ring. Then she rang. She told them that she was me. And they said, oh, well, we'll get back to you. And it took them 10 days to get back to me. Only it wasn't me, it was mum, pretending to be me, before we found out that, no, it was okay. He wasn't one of the ones that operated on me. I can't tell you what that 10 days was like. So, Kim, I don't know how you do that. I mean, I was thinking like it's a tiny, tiny chance, but even so, it's a chance. And I hadn't particularly, it wasn't my behaviour that had got me exposed to it, just like you being a dentist. It's not that behaviour that, you know, you're just doing a job and I was just ill. That was a horrific time. I can't imagine. I wouldn't want to go through it more than once, Kim. You have my admiration. New York was sending all the COVID patients to nursing homes. Oh, yeah, that's what we did here. 40% of the deaths occurred in nursing homes. It's terrifying, isn't it? Pick your bubble and stick with it. Other than that, don't be near anyone without a mask and social distancing. That, Kim, sums up neatly three lines that sums up our last 7 months. The nearest I have been to anybody was when Kath, Kaz and Joe arrived for my birthday with a cake. And they were at the bottom of the garden path and we were at the top. And the dog was on a lead between the two of us. And that was it. I don't think at the time we were supposed to be wearing masks, were we? He's putting his football on so he doesn't miss it.
It was on silent.
Oh, it's not now, is it?
No. Has a mind of his own. It's like today. I was doing workplace training, but I was doing it on the iPad because that's how they wanted it. But I logged in through my computer so that I can talk to them through Teams on the computer, but I couldn't actually silence the iPad totally. So even though I had my headphones on, I could hear very faintly myself coming through the iPad.
That is what you need.
Yeah, but I didn't have one.
One in the drawer next door.
Oh, right.
There's always one in the drawer next door. If you're wondering what it is, it's a headphone adapter that narrows down a headphone socket to something that will fit in an iPhone. Yeah. So you should always have one handy. And there you go. Where's mine? Right next to me.
Yeah, good job they haven't changed the iPad to the charger port and got rid of the headphone socket.
That would have caused even more bother, but it's all right. There's one of those in there. There's always a dongle for something lying around here.
A dingle dongle.
I'm loving that from Tracy. Don't know about them living together in a bubble, but they're certainly in each other's pockets. Oh, yes. There's a lot of that going on. Oh, Tracy. Came to realise this was when the AIDS virus started. Oh, and before blood was routinely... That's what I'm saying about being scary, isn't it? It is very, very scary. There's a case still going on in this country, probably about the same time as that, Tracy. It was the blood factor products. And they shipped them in from America and they were infected and a lot of haemophiliacs died. They came together as like a group of people and I think there's only three left. I think everybody else has died. And there was actually an inquiry going on into it. I'm obviously too late for those that died. I mean, this is typical, isn't it? The British blood was scanned routinely. The stuff they imported wasn't. and obviously they needed it to live. It was a some, is it factor eight? Whatever it is that they give them.
I didn't realise the refs take the knee as well.
They're still doing that.
I'm a linesman, yeah.
Lines people, Mike.
Lines people.
Not just men anymore, are they?
No. Sean, what's it?
The least we should be doing is learning from that mistake. They don't learn from any mistakes, Simon. The same thing would happen again now, and probably will. When you look at the death figures now, I know they're saying we've got mass testing, but the death figures are climbing to about half on the worst day of the first wave. And we're not 3 to 4 weeks beyond the equivalent when, you know what I mean? The figures will get worse before they get better, because we know that 2 weeks ago they were climbing, but they've not reached the point that those people have actually died yet. It's like when they're dead at the weekend, but we don't count them till Tuesday. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. And people are getting sick of the government's approach. And therefore, we had somebody today saying they're staging a breakout. Let's all go to the pub, but we'll go separately, you know, for a meal. And we'll all sit at separate tables. And I'm like,
what's the point?
I totally agree with you.
We're not able to talk to each other.
I know. I think it's just, they just want normality. I mean, I'm not bothered to that degree. I'm quite happy in my own four walls, but I can appreciate there are people who aren't. But even, unless this turned into to where when you died, it was within like 2 minutes and people were dropping dead in front of you. You know, like that film I told you about with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Mm.
She just started convulsing and there was blood from every orifice. If that happened in front of you, maybe people would stay home. But because we're kind of shielded from this, maybe we shouldn't be. Maybe we shouldn't be so shielded from it. I was watching this thing about Jack the Ripper. It was a two-part thing. And it was different than anything else I'd ever seen about it, because it concentrated on the victims, which not many things about Jack the Ripper do. And they were showing you a newspaper. And this newspaper, obviously, they did have photographs, but not that many. But what they did have was like drawings. And on the front of this paper, and this was 1888, wasn't it, Jack the Ripper, around that time. On the front of the paper, there was one of the victims in a coffin as a drawing. And it said, you know, this is the picture from the morgue. And I thought, oh, my God, that's awful. But maybe if we had a photo of somebody like that little boy who died, and that caused a stink that for the entire summer, the immigrant that died on the beach.
Yeah.
It was like a moment that was just captured as a photograph, and it changed people. Maybe we need to have to see pictures of people dying or breathing their last before people believe it's real. Because people are just wandering around as though it's not. And the longer it goes on, the worse that's getting. But that's just me. Oh, poor Deb. Got to go to the dentist in 30 minutes for a deep clean. Misery is my name. Fingers crossed for you, Deb. I'm sure they'll have it all sorted and it'll soon be over. The death rates have come down from the highs in March and April in the US, but they've remained steady. They need to come down. Ours did come right down until the 4th of July, when they, Independence Day, opened the pubs. They sent the children back to school and they sent the young people back to university.
Yeah, but we're not blaming Kim for that.
No, it wasn't your fault. It just happened to be. No, it's Boris. I'm blaming Boris. Boris and Boris's merry band of men.
It was our lot.
Yeah, they're idiots. They made such a fuss about the pubs being open and that scheme that came in, Eat Out to Help Out. I mean, I said to you, didn't I, no good would come of that, and it didn't. So now we're all in this mess, and now they're worried about Christmas. Oh. I think the MacBiters should run the country.
Yeah.
Couldn't possibly be any worse. In fact, I'm thinking Simon for PM. With Dusty in the Jim Jams, you still wouldn't look as ludicrous as Boris. There you go. That's what I'm suggesting. Ooh, are we going to get something to eat now?
Yes.
Yay! Something nice.
There's chocolates in the fridge.
There is chocolates in the fridge, but they're yours, aren't they? We'll find something. But for the moment, it is good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.